Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Are you ready? How many know that when you walk with God every day God's going to give you something to walk toward? All right, let me say that again. Every day you walk with God, God will whisper, show you, and give you something to walk toward. If you are not finding those things, you have become dull in your senses, and it's time to start recognizing that when you start hearing something two and three times in the same week, He's trying to get your attention on something, and He wants you to pursue what He's trying to say. You guys know Big Anthony? He's not here a lot. He works on Sundays, and then the Sunday he doesn't work, he goes to the prison ministry. So he came, and he goes, "Man, I really want to preach." I'm like, "You know, you should probably show up church before you try that." You know, but he's got his message about the door. Jesus being the door, and he's downloading all this. I'm like, "Oh, that's pretty interesting. I'm going to steal that." And so I stole it. Today's message is about the door. I'm not stealing all of it, because if I do, he'll get offended. And he really did have some revelation with it. And I probably will let him preach it. So he said it. Just because he showed it to me, I started looking at the scriptures about Jesus being the door and the gate and all that stuff. And then I had a neighbor that stayed at my house very, very late, and he started talking about Leonardo da Vinci, who painted that painting right there. And he's a brilliant man. His name's Eric. He lives across the street. And he just started unloading that when he was young, went to the Catholic Church. His, you know, mom took him to church and said, "When you finally come to age, you can make a decision if you want to go to church or not." And I realized this guy is much more spiritual than I realized. But he had studied Da Vinci, and it opened up a conversation. I'm like, "Listen, there's just certain people in history who see things from a different realm." And so we started talking about that. How did he picture that and paint that? And he's just going off on it. I'm like, "Well, you see it. You know, how did Martin Luther see what he saw? How did, you know," we started talking about Tesla. He would actually see inventions. He saw in a vision form. He was in Budapest, and actually God made him repent for his hatred toward Edison. And when he did, he had a vision, and God gave him a blueprint to invent the AC motor. And so he kept it in vision form and never wrote it down, because people kept stealing his patents. So where did he get he pulled this information from a realm in the spirit, and he kept it, and literally he would be studying in his mind, and he would change his design without ever putting it on paper, because he didn't want anybody to steal it. And he finally got it to where he could get a patent on it. But we were talking about Da Vinci saw some things and did some things. And so him and his wife on his, birthdays, because it was my 60th, he said on his 40th, they went to Italy, and he wanted to see where this picture was painted. It was his passion. And so his wife, you know, like, makes it all happen, because that's what wives do. And he says, you walk into this, where this thing was painted. You go in that building, you go through one like doorway, then you go to an airlock, because they're preserving this. And then you can't take pictures and stuff. And so he walks in there, and he's like bummed out, angry, mad. And his wife's like, "What's wrong?" He goes, "That's not the painting." She's like, "This is kind of the original." He's like, "No, And he says, listen, Jesus had a beige, not a red robe on the painting that's in that building where the monks were. And he said, and the craziest thing is, and he was angry about it, he said, there's a door. Go to the next painting. That would be the next one. See the door? So hundreds of years later, after the original painting, the monks needed to get to the kitchen, and they cut a door in the picture where this picture was, and they literally cut a door. And he's freaking out. Why? Because he had made an idol out of the original. And life starts coming into, and the monks are like, we ain't walking a mile and a half to go to the kitchen. We're cutting a door. And they cut a door. Do you notice that it covers his feet? Whose feet? And so as he starts bellyaching about this last night at 12:30, the scripture I've been dealing with all week, I am the door. And he goes, oh, really? I mean, I pull the scripture up and I start reading the 19 verses of I am the door, explaining the gospel. And he's like, are you telling me God would be that sovereign that just because the monks wanted to cut their walk time in half, he would? I said, God knows everything. God knows everything. And it just opened up. So I was up this morning going, I think I'm going to preach about the door. And the whole concept of Jesus being the door starts off in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Okay, you want me to give you the Charlie Coker redneck version of that? I can find Stupidville without a map. That's my version. The problem is I got there and Brad was the mayor. Anyway, but then he says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. What is he saying? He said, there's this huge gate. There's this huge ability. You can find anything you want, but it's destruction. But if you want to find life, narrows it down. And those who find it are few. So that he's talking about a gate. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, this is an Old Testament people that had turned into the Judaizers who were doing circumcision and killing lambs and being religious. And Jesus stands up talking to old covenant people with an old covenant language, and he goes, I'm the door. That's what he's getting ready to say. He said, I'm the door. And any man who comes into the sheepfold besides me is what he's saying. He's a thief and a robber. Do you realize he's talking to the people and he's calling them thief and robbers? Yeah, I know. He wasn't all that politically correct. I've heard this whole passage of scripture talk about where the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not talking about the devil. He's talking about the religious leaders of that religious system. So take the devil out of this. Because what we want to do is we want to blame the devil on stuff that people are doing. The man is a thief and a robber. He's not talking about the devil. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now he's talking to people who understand sheep and shepherds and sheep pens, and I mean, this is common language to them. You and I are going, what is he saying? You know? But this is common to him. And what he's saying to them is, listen, Jesus is being just a little braggadocious. I'm the way. Any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And listen, they're going to hear my voice and they're going to follow. My sheep are going to hear my voice and follow me. He's talking to religious Jews. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, he goes into explanation mode here in verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. I'm a pretty good preacher, and I look at some of you, and some things I say, you ain't got a clue. You're never going to understand everything that comes from that realm. Some of that, it needs to irritate you. But have enough tenacity to find out why it irritates you. Go back to the Holy Ghost. Why didn't I like that? You might find out that you have a blindness because you believed a lie or you don't know the truth. But I'm telling you, God will offend your mind to expose your heart. That was good. It's funny. You guys know Wanda and Titus. They came by to see me, and here's Titus. He's so excited. He loves me, and he's excited, and he starts tattletaling on Miss Susie. He said, yeah, I remember Miss Susie would say he'd be preaching, and he's bored. We'd go down to Bagel King and get a bagel. I said, really? Susie would take, yeah, she said, you were boring. We'd go to get bagels. I'm like, yeah, I understand. Not everybody hears what I say, and sometimes I don't say what I actually hear. Jesus said to them again, verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me, he's talking about you guys. He's talking to the religious leaders. You guys, all you guys that came before me, your leaders are thieves and robbers. But the sheep will not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. In other words, you'll have preservation of your and safety, and you'll be unharmed. And will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the guys who crawled over the fence. These are the leaders. These are the leaders that are unwilling to explain the real gospel. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand, that's religion, and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand. That's a career, not a calling. There's a lot of people that are in a career of religion, but when it's a calling from God, you have to lay down your life first and foremost to God, and then God will require many times for us to lay down our lives for someone else. You know, we can sing this song, I want to be like you, Jesus. No one mess with me. No one lie about me. No one hurt me. Don't, you know, I want to be like you, Jesus. Well, go tell Ted that, you know, he's forgiven. No, I don't want to. Ted should come to me. Oh, really? Oh, Charlie, did you lay your life down? Did you tell me I had control? Yeah, go forgive him. Well, he disrespected me. He didn't do this. People get so offended. You know, the Bible says in Psalms, he says the righteous are not easily offended. Some of you just ain't righteous. You notice I didn't include me in that. Just kidding. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, check this. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, because we will be one flock with one shepherd. Who's he talking to? Jews, who hunt nothing to do with Gentiles. He's telling them, listen, he's not talking to us. He's talking to religious Jews who we think is the devil, but it's their religion that is the thief, that does not make place or way for the Gentiles to come. This is why they couldn't catch it, because they had pride and arrogance. We're the chosen people. Yeah, well, lay your life down and win the world. So he's saying, listen, I have sheep from another fold you know nothing about. My question is, there may be people in your neighborhood that are of another fold. Are you going to go be their shepherd? Mm-hmm. 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. This charge I've received from my Father. Verse 19, another church split. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Let me tell you something. It ain't just the Jews that don't like a different people group, who don't like a different economic group, who don't like a people with a different language, a different culture. And Jesus says, listen, if you've accepted me, you need to lay your barriers down. I ain't going to that church. They're a clique. You know why we're a clique? Because we get comfortable with each other. It's time to quit being a clique. It's time to be a shepherd. Lay your life down. But listen, when the door sends you, the gatekeeper will receive you. When you've laid down your life and you've met Jesus, and he is your doorway. Listen, when you go for a job interview, when you go for increase, when you go through things, come through that door first. He's the doorway you go through. You go through that doorway every morning in your prayer time. You go through that doorway Jesus is a little arrogant. He thinks it's about him. He really does. If I did that, you all would call me arrogant. I look a lot like him. Romans 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Verse 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I don't think it was a coincidence that that doorway covered his feet in a famous painting. You know what's even more ironic is I thought about it. The monks put that door to get to the kitchen to get something to eat. You get nourishment in the kitchen. That's also where he sets a table with all your enemies around. And you go, check out these ribs. That's where you get your nourishment. And so I sat there last night and talked to my friend. I'm like, isn't that great? God ruins his idol. Da Vinci was his idol. That painting was his idol. And God says, no, I'm the doorway. And when you come through me, you can come to the kitchen and get food that you didn't know of. You can get your manna for the day. I smoked ribs for the first time. Listen, They're good. And I said, you know, I said, I cooked ribs today. I said, you know, this whole thing started when Adam lost a rib. We created Eve. I said, we just smoked her today, you know. Some things you just can't hear. Or on here, yeah. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I think it's ironic. They covered his feet, and he is the gospel. And they covered his feet with a door. Mm-mm. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Listen, faith comes from hearing through the Lord. Listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. This is the Apostle Paul. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying these hireling thieves that Jesus was talking about in John 10, they'll make you still be jumped through the religious hoops so they feel good about getting you to kill your own flesh. That's what religion does. Religion goes, jump through this hoop, jump through this hoop, jump through this hoop. Jesus said, come through this door. Here's a concept. Narrow is the gate. How many times you heard? Narrow is the gate. Laney, it's only one way. This is narrow. You got to work hard at it. By the way, say hi to Tim and Laney Bishop. Been mine and Susie's friends forever. In a day, at least 60 years now. Narrow is the gate. How narrow is the gate? How narrow is the gate? Size of a door. Who's the door? Jesus. Here's the problem. Religion keeps telling you, narrow is the gate, hard is the way. Narrow is the gate, hard is the way. Listen. Have you ever gone to a cattle ranch and had to go through a gate? What happens when you go through the gate? It's not narrow anymore. Everything is available to you. And religion keeps going, narrow's the gate, narrow's. No, I want to go run through the meadow. I want to go out to the hunting camp. I want to go do this. No, narrow's the gate. No, why? It's control. It's religious control saying you aren't worthy. You're not good enough to have green pastures. You're not good enough to be the top executive in your company. You're not good. No, come through the gate and get on the other side of the gate and run, baby. Everything is available to you. I want to say it. Get out of the damn gate. Quit being stuck in the gate. Religion keeps you in the gate. Listen, when you go to the Kentucky Derby, that gate is narrow and that horse has to come in and get locked in and get his butt tucked in and get all this stuff. But when the gate opens, what happens? He gone, baby. And we got Christians going, I really like this gate. I got everything under control. You weren't designed to be stuck in a gate. You were designed to be a thoroughbred and run the race.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.